Good, let's bow our heads in prayer as we remain seated. Loving Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, as we think about what the reading has been saying to us this morning, we just pray that you will speak into our hearts and minds the things that you're wanting to share with each of us. And so, Lord, we pray that you will open our ears, open our hearts, and open our minds to receive your word and your word only. And Lord, we ask this in your name, that we might be worthy of you. Amen. Good morning. Are we all happy? I'm glad Peter sat there, because there's this big gap here, which was worrying me slightly, I have to say, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." Now, one of the things I really love in the Bible are these little episodes which give a real insight into human nature. And some of these episodes are literally sort of video replay, or at least an audio replay. And this is one of them. And they throw a lot of insight into the disciples, and Jesus as well, of course. And one of the other things that helps to ground it for me is that a gloss or a spin isn't put on it. And so the disciples are seen as really human beings with all of their faults. And I think that's important, and I think it helps to show that here we're dealing with something that is really important in God's word. And I want to have a look this morning just at verses 33 to 37. So it's only going to be short this morning, so you won't have to suffer too long in the cold. And verses 33 to 37 say this: "They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you arguing about on the road?' But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, 'If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all.' He took a little child in his arms and stood him among them. And he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." So, you can see the picture, you can even picture the scene. They're walking as a group along the road to Capernaum. It had been the 12 disciples and Jesus, but probably also hangers-on as well. So it's probably a larger group. And the disciples are having a discussion. Well, it's an argument, really. And the argument is, who is the greatest? It's like children, isn't it? You know, well, I'm better than you. I should have this position. I should have that position. And they're obviously not aware that Jesus can hear their discussions. So Jesus takes them into a house. In other words, he's getting them on their own, which is the 12 now, so he can have a serious talk with them. And he asks, well, what does he ask them? You tell me. What were you arguing about on the road? And they reply, And they replied, nothing. Nothing. There was silence. Barclay, in his commentary on this passage, says it was the silence of shame. You know, what had seemed so important to them walking along the road and so vital, now, with the full attention of Jesus and being faced with Jesus, it all seemed so trivial, so unimportant, and just plain wrong. It was not the discussion they should have been having. And in their heart of hearts, they knew it. The silence of shame. And tell me, what happened next? Jesus asked them what they were arguing about on the road. They keep quiet. What happens next? You may answer. Jesus what? Okay. All right. Thank you, Linda. Well done. Very simply, tell me, what was the next thing that happened? Jesus, Linda's not wrong in what she's saying, by the way. That was fine. But I want something much simpler. What happened next?
He sat down.
He what?
Jesus sat down.
Excellent.
Excellent. He sat down. Do you know, it's interesting how we skip over that, isn't it? You know, we just miss that as being unimportant. But for a different culture, for their culture, that was a huge, huge clue. You see, because if you were a rabbi, with your followers, your pupils, disciples around you, when you sat down, you were going to teach. You didn't teach standing up. We tend to do it the other way around. They did it that way around. And as soon as Jesus sits down, they know that something important is going to happen. Something important is going to be said. It's like a traffic light, if you like, you know. Look! Pay attention. And he sits down, and so now they're listening. And he says, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. You know, I think these verses should be on the desk of every Christian minister, ordained and lay. Status and power are insidious and can affect us all. I'll tell you a story, I'll share a story with you against myself. And some years ago when I was attending a confirmation service, not in this deanery, in another deanery, and we weren't hosting the confirmation service, but I had some candidates and another colleagues did, and we were meeting in another church. And we arrived in the evening for the service, and the clergy weren't going to robe on this occasion, as it happened. And I came, and we got into church, and I thought there would be some reserved seats, because there usually were for clergy. But there weren't. And I felt initially a bit miffed. And I thought to myself, hang on a moment, this isn't right. I shouldn't be feeling miffed at all. This is wrong. You see how these little things can creep in to all of us in one way or another. Some of you will remember Geoffrey Fisher, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury and crowned our present Queen in Westminster Abbey. He was a bishop of the old school. He didn't take fools too lightly, I have to say. But you know, when he retired as Archbishop, he took up a post in a parish church. Not as the incumbent, not as the vicar or the rector, but as the curate. He knew what serving was about. His gifts and talents had been used as Archbishop. Now that had changed. And his gifts and talents are now being used in a different way for God's glory in his church. This time at the other end, as it were, of the scale. He knew the importance of serving. Some of you will remember a serial on television some years ago. It was from the novel by R.F. Delderfield, about chronicling the career of a young schoolmaster coming back from the First World War and starting his career in this school as an ordinary teacher and teaching and following him through all the years till eventually he becomes the headmaster. The title of the book, and indeed also the television series, was To Serve Them All My Days. Brilliant title. To Serve Them All My Days. And Rudyard Kipling, in the prelude to his book Stalky & Co., has a song, a school song. It starts, "Let us now praise famous men, men of little showing." And round about verse 6 or 7, he says this, talking about ex-pupils. "Some beneath the further stars bear the greater burden, set to serve the lands they rule. Save he serve, no man may rule. Serve and love the lands they rule, seeking praise nor guerdon." See, Kipling understood about what ruling meant. It meant serving. And our Queen is a good example of that. And how seriously she takes that. In the church shop in Saxmundham High Street, where coffee, light refreshments are served and Christian books and cards are sold, on all of the tables there is a menu card giving some little details about the shop itself at the crossroads, details of the cost of coffees and teas and biscuits, etc., and the services in the church. And also there is a verse from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 5. And the verse is this: "We proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." We proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul says this, talking about Jesus, "who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant." You see, Paul got it. He understood what it was about. The disciples were struggling with it. See, they just grasped the fact that Jesus, yes, was the Messiah, but the Messiah in their terms was the conquering king type of Messiah, who's going to restore the glory of Israel, throw out the Roman occupying force. Not the suffering servant. And Jesus makes a great effort to get the message over to them. Now it's interesting that this particular episode is contained in all three of the Gospels. It's that important. All the Gospel writers remember it. Hey, this is an important event, and have included it. And it's important for two main reasons. Jesus wants to get over what the nature of his ministry is. Not the conquering king, the suffering servant. He's come to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He's on his way to crucifixion. That's the service. That's the suffering servant. And having got that over, and dealt with the relationship, therefore, between him and us, he's come to serve. It's then saying, what is your relationship like, one with another? Are you using your gifts and your talents that God has given you for your own benefit or for the benefit of others as he wants? Christian ministry is about serving, always. And that is vitally important. Jesus isn't saying there shouldn't be leadership. Of course there should be leadership. Servant leaders. Using the leadership gifts and talents that God's given. But it's not about lording it over people or exercising a control over people. It's serving them. And whatever leadership role you have and occupy in the church, whether it's Jean as leading the choir, whether it's Graham and John as church wardens, whatever the leadership role is, it's always about serving. Nothing else. So often we get it wrong. And I have to say, as a Christian church, our track record has not been always the best in this area. And you can look back on episodes of church history where it's, I'm afraid, abundantly clear. And we've given a wrong message. But Jesus takes this opportunity to remind his disciples very clearly and very seriously. If you want to be first, you have to be prepared to be the very last and the servant of all. It's always about serving. Serving him and serving each other for him. Nothing else will do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, you took your disciples on one side to teach them what was really important. Thank you for that. Thank you for that message. And Lord, help us to take that same message on board so that we might be your servants in this, your world, serving one another so that you are glorified and honoured. So Lord, take our gifts and talents, we pray, and use them for your glory. Amen.